Well, good morning, everyone. It is good to be here on this Labor Day weekend with you. And it is so good to continue our Grow series. Our mission here at Elmbrook Church is to get people rooted in Jesus and released to his mission. And our growth path helps us do that. And so through the series, we've looked at attending a worship service on the weekend. We've looked at the importance of belonging to a life group. Today, we are going to look at what it means to join a serve team, and then next week what it means to lead others. And so my task today is to talk about joining a serve team. But before we do that and we get into God's word, would you just quickly pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we praise your name and we glorify you for being our Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will just prepare our hearts to hear your word. Lord, that we will be attentive to what you have to say to us and be humble to receive what you teach us today. Lord, we thank you that you love us extensively, Lord. And it's so good to be here together and to be with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to start by telling you a little bit about my beginnings. I was born in Angola, in Africa. And at that time, Angola was part of a Portuguese territory until it experienced a civil war in about 74, 75. My parents, along with many other families, found themselves being circumstantial refugees at worst and circumstantial immigrants at best. In fact, my parents at the time were on vacation and they never got to go back home. They lost everything. They lost their home, they lost their country, they lost their jobs, they lost their family, and they lost their friends. Everything was gone. But God is good. And with him, you never experience scarcity. Your abundance just looks different than what you thought it was going to look like. So God settled us in a brand new country, in fact, two countries, first Namibia and then South Africa. All of my family came to faith, and that is worth anything in the world. But we were able to buy a new home. My father was never without a job. My brother and I received first-rate education. We became trilingual kids. And we really had a wonderful childhood. That is the place that I met my husband, and he's still a keeper. We found ourselves surrounded by many other families who found themselves in the same situation that we were in. And those families then became to us like aunts and uncles and cousins. And in fact, God gave us a brand new family. And one of those families are still like family to us today. We are still very close. But growing up, we spent a lot of time together. We were always in each other's homes. They had an older daughter, but they had a son that was the same age as I was. And the two of us became inseparable, for better or for worse. Now, the curious thing about this family, which I only got to know much later, was that the father had been in the secret police. Now, another historical side note, Portugal had been a dictatorship for 40 years until the revolution of 74. And after the revolution, this dad went into hiding. And so he obviously had not made many friends, and the immigrant families at the time were very not well disposed towards him, as you can imagine. So my friend's father would go to work, he'd come back home, he'd close all the shades, and he'd sit alone in his study, a study that no one was allowed to enter in under threat of life, if I remember correctly. And he would sit in there by himself, and he would chain smoke, and he would work on puzzles. He loved puzzles of all kinds, and he particularly would spend hours and hours working on jigsaw puzzles. And he would actually construct a table for the sole purpose of working on these jigsaw puzzles. Now, one day we heard him mention to other adults that he had just started a brand new puzzle that had a billion, trillion pieces to it. And that the worst thing, the dangerous thing about starting a puzzle that size is if you lost one piece. And my friend and I looked at each other, and our eyes twinkled, and our ears pricked, and there were butterflies in our bellies, and evil entered our hearts. And so, one day, as the adults were otherwise occupied, we, and the puzzle was almost complete, we snuck into this mysterious, dark study and took a piece and hid it for weeks. And I remember the surprise when my friend's father finally finished the puzzle and realized that one piece was missing. He was absolutely beside himself. And so every topic of every conversation, every time our families would get together, anything that was said, it was always about the missing puzzle piece. And one day he was so desperate that he gathered everybody and allowed us into that study for us to look for that piece. And we looked everywhere, under the table, in the chairs, on the floor, and nothing. Have you seen the puzzle piece? No. Have you touched the puzzle piece? No. Do you have the puzzle piece? No. For weeks, until one day, mysteriously, the puzzle piece reappeared and the puzzle was complete and the whole universe was set on its course again and everything was okay. And to this day, we have never told a single soul about what we did. So, shh. And kids, if you are sitting here today, here's the disclaimer. If you are here today, do not try this at home. This was done and performed by professional pranksters and dirty little liars. I look back at my life and everything that I've gone through, and sometimes it feels like my life has been put together like a puzzle. And puzzles can be frustrating. They sometimes can be confusing. They can be rewarding. They can be a lot of fun. They can be relaxing. And that can be a way for us to get into all kinds of adventures with all kinds of people. Life is like that. But that's also the way that the church is. The church is like a puzzle that Jesus starts putting together for the benefit of the world. And Paul describes the church in this way. Now, if you remember, Paul was an apostle. He was a church planter. He was a pastor, and he addresses this church that he planted in Rome as their pastor in Romans 12. And today, I am your pastor, and I'm addressing you with Paul's words. And in Romans 12, verse 3, this is what this pastor says. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. In this way, we are like the various parts of the human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole. Not the other way around. The body we are talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we are made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you put in charge, don't manipulate. If you call to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply and practice playing second fiddle. Now, this is from the Message that is a paraphrase of a translation. And so I love this paraphrase because it really speaks to the heart of what we're trying to learn today. And when I read this passage, the first thing that stands out is that every piece of the puzzle counts. Every piece of the puzzle matters. In the NIV, which is then a translation, in verse 1 it says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you." So what does sober judgment mean? It means that you come to a realization that in God's eyes, you are important, but everybody else is as well. Everybody else is important. Every piece of the puzzle is vitally important. No one is more or less important. When one piece of the puzzle is missing, it cannot be complete. And the same is true of the church. Now, if you've noticed, at the end of this very long hallway, if you walk towards the gym, there's this beautiful picture on the wall. And if you stand from afar, you'll see that this picture is the map of the world. But when you get closer, that map of the world is made out of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of faces. And wouldn't that make for a beautiful puzzle for us to complete? The church is that puzzle, and you are that piece. If you had to make that picture now into the people that attend here, and you hold this puzzle piece in your hand, your face would be on that puzzle, and you'd form part of that picture. The church is the puzzle and you are that piece. And so when you are missing, the church cannot function. It cannot be complete. When you make a decision not to get involved, when you make a decision to withhold yourself, when you make a decision not to serve where help is needed, you are taking a piece out of God's puzzle and you are hiding it. Sometimes for weeks, for months, and even years. When you decide not to attend a worship service, you are missed. When you decide not to belong to a life group, you are missed. When you decide not to join a serve team, you are missed. When you decide not to lead others, you are missed. You are missed. No piece of the puzzle is more important or less important than any other. The church is the same way. There's no one sitting here that is more important or less important than any other person. Everyone has value. Everyone is needed. Everyone has a part to play because everyone forms part of the picture. Now, if we realize that and we know that to be true, then why is it that there are so many people that aren't involved? Why is it that there are so many people that are holding back? And I believe that there are two things. We always think of time, and that is true, but I believe that there are two things why people don't get involved. First, they don't know where they fit. They don't know where they fit. Many people look at those serving in the church and they can't find a place in it for themselves. Let me give you an illustration. Do you know that we are only 114 days away from Christmas? Yeah. We are only 114 days away, which means that about 100 or less days, you and me, lots of us here in this room, are going to take that horrible box off the shelf. We are going to put together our artificial Christmas tree, which is like a 3D puzzle, an infuriating puzzle, because there are a number of pieces. They're all different, but they're all supposed to fit and interlock in a certain way. And at the end of the day, when you stand back and look at your masterpiece with sweat dripping down your back and your arms all scratched up and plastic needles all over everywhere you look, you're going to look behind you, and behind you are going to be three branches that are left behind. And you have no idea how they fit. But all you see is this big gaping hole in the middle of the Christmas tree. You see, many people look at serving and they feel like those leftover branches. They have nowhere to fit. They can't sing. They can't play an instrument. They don't want to teach and they certainly don't want to preach. And they don't know where they fit. It looks like all the branches are in place already. All the opportunities are taken. All the work is already being done. But the fact of the matter is there's still this big gaping hole. Now, let me introduce you to Camille. Camille has the greatest smile you have ever seen. And that's her puzzle piece. That's her branch to offer. She joined the greeter team and she helps out and she offers her smile. And whenever I see Camille, I want to take her home with me. In fact, I want her to take me home with her. I love Camille. You see, anything you do in the church for Jesus is service. Everything from joining a worship team if you can sing and you can play an instrument, to being an usher, to joining the landscaping team, to manning the cameras, to handing out brochures or handing out anything at the doors, to giving out information. If you're a Levite and you come and help this big room get tidied and ready for service, everything, anything, everywhere, anywhere you fit. The serve team is as important and as the members that are in it. And people think that because we're always talking about life groups, that if I'm not a life group leader or if I don't take care of the children, then nothing else that is done has value. But everything has value. And if you feel that you are a life group leader and that's where you want to be, or you're taking care of the kids and that's where you fit the best, then go there and fit the best there. But all the pieces are necessary, from keeping the building in good repair to visiting somebody in the hospital and praying for them. All of it matters. You see, when my friend and I, when we returned that puzzle piece, we all came to realize the value of the last piece. Sometimes we look at other people serving and we realize, oh, if I do something, it won't have value. The minute you think that, you've identified the last piece and it's you. It is you. Only when everybody does that part can the church succeed. And let me tell you something, that's not my idea. That's not the idea of even Elmbrook Church. That's how Jesus planned it. It's his idea. That's how God puts his puzzle together. So sometimes people don't know where they fit, but they also don't know how they fit. Not only is every piece important, but every piece of the puzzle is unique. Look at what verse 4 says. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we are all many, and we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You know, this morning when I brought together those boxes of puzzle pieces that I gave out to you, I opened them up and I dumped them all, and when they are in a big pile, they all look like they have the same shape. But when you start picking one after the other, you realize they all have a different shape. We all have a different shape. We are all shaped differently by God. You are shaped with spiritual gifts. In verse 6 and 8, it says this, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in according with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If you are to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You see, spiritual gifts are abilities that God gives us to the believer for the purpose of the church or for the work that the church is doing in the world. They are not human talents. Human talents are inadequate to accomplish the work of God. So spiritual gifts are either spiritual, supernatural abilities that God has given someone once they get saved, or they are God-given natural abilities that now function under the direction of the Holy Spirit. They are empowered by the Holy Spirit. I like to think of abilities that are fueled by spiritual juice. And so you have gifts like miracles and tongues and healing and prophecy. They are supernatural gifts, but there are other gifts as well. Things like gifts like teaching, like administration and help, discernment, wisdom, faith, giving, hospitality, leadership. They are all spiritual gifts, and they perform a special role in God's program. So non-believers might have some of these abilities, but they are not powered by the Holy Spirit. They are not fueled with spiritual juice. And so spiritual gifts, the Holy Spirit takes those God-given abilities and he uses them for his glory in the lives of believers for the benefit of others. For his glory in the lives and joy of believers for the benefit of others. And that's the key. For the benefit of others. And that's what paints the best picture, is that God gives you a gift and then he says, go and re-gift it. Now, my mother growing up had three boxes, the just-in-case boxes. The first box was the hospital box, just in case you landed up in hospital. It had brand new pajamas, brand new slippers, brand new robe, brand new underwear, brand new toiletries. just in case you landed up in hospital. Now, thankfully, nobody was ever that sick, so that box never got used. So she had the hospital box. Then she had the hospitality box, and that was just in case you had to host a special occasion. And it had new plates, new cutlery, a new tablecloth, new napkins for that special occasion and the special guest, except no one was ever that special, so it never got used. So she had the hospital box, she had the hospitality box, and then she had the host box. That was just in case you needed a gift in a pinch. And so he had all the gifts that we had been given that were now designated to be re-gifted, but every gift had the name of the giver and the date of when it was given, just in case you were going to re-gift the giver with the gift that they had given you. That box always got used. Can anyone relate? My mother was a regifter. But you know who's the greatest regifter of all time? It's God. God is the greatest regifter of all time. He gives every believer at least one spiritual gift. And then he says, now go give it away. Go regift that. Find an opportunity to do that. Spiritual gifts function to bless the church for the sake of the world. Now, Mary has been given a gift. Mary's an artist, but her incredible gift of administration has blessed us because she joined the reception team. And for over a year, Mary shows up every Thursday, and she is incredible with this gift because she has changed our productivity as a staff by helping us with administration and with our communication efforts. That is her gift. And you have a gift too. So figure out what your gift is and then look for opportunities to re-gift it. And if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, then come and talk to me. Come and talk to one of us. We'll help you figure out what your spiritual gift is so you have the opportunity to be a re-gifter. You are also shaped with a heart. And these are the things that you are passionate about, things that light up a fire inside you, things that you care about. Now, I met Brian a few years ago, and Brian has a beautiful family. He has 4 beautiful children. He has a great job. He has a wonderful marriage. But Brian has a passion for his community. He wants to reach out and answer the needs in his community where he lives. So he started talking to a friend who served at James Place. And James Place we have several James Places at Elmbrook Church out in the community serving the needs of that particular community. And he was really looking for opportunities of what it would look like to be part of that serve team. And he was particularly captivated by anything that would kind of meet an anything that he could go outside beyond the walls of the church, where God was already at work, where God was changing lives one individual at a time. So he looked at James Place. This is his story.
When I went to the high school, I walked into a place that was totally unfamiliar to me. I walked into a place that had sadness, had chaos that I never realized were occurring in the schools. I was overwhelmed in every aspect of my senses, whether it was the behavior in the hallways, lack of concentration in the classroom, respect. It was just overwhelming. I left that school and I thought, there is no place here for me. There's nothing I can do here. I went to bed that night, still quite disturbed about this, and I was awoken in the middle of the night and out of a sound sleep, and I thought to myself, words that I feel the Lord had said to me before, if you don't do this for me now, what can I not offer you in the future? And those profound words that I really believe had to come from God made me think that I was giving up too easily. There is a place for us there, and it's my duty and obligation as a Christian to go back. within that first week, we saw dramatic changes with just our presence being in the classrooms. The teachers that we were working with would also say the level of chaos within the classroom was greater when we weren't there. It was only by the Holy Spirit that our presence, our very presence, was making a difference.
So that is not Brian, but it is somebody who's serving also at James Place at Obama School. And his experience is just like Brian's, that it can be yours too. So look into what is your passion that you care about, and then find an opportunity to serve there. You're also shaped with abilities. And your abilities are those natural talents that God has given you when you were born. And all our abilities come from God. And because they come from God, they are just as important as our spiritual gifts. The abilities are different because they were given to you when you were born. So your abilities are given to you when you are born, and your spiritual gifts are given to you when you are born again. And so one of the most common excuses that people have for not serving is they say, well, I just don't have any abilities to offer. I'm not going to go on that mission trip because I can't do anything. I don't know how to do anything. Well, that is just ludicrous. Of course you know how to do stuff. You have dozens, probably hundreds of untapped, unrecognized, unused abilities that are just lying dormant within you. In fact, there's research that shows that any given individual has between 500 and 700 different skills that they have acquired throughout their lives that they can do. And so you are the only person on earth who can use your abilities your way. No one can play your role because no one has the shape that God has given you. Let me just mention some abilities. There's recruiting abilities. There's building and fixing, graphics, planning abilities, managing, counseling and encouraging abilities, teaching, editing, feeding abilities, technical, visual arts, counting, welcoming, musical, landscaping, decorating, just to name a few. Every ability can be used for God's glory and for the benefit of others. So what you are able to do, God wants you to do. What you are able to do, God wants you to do. So go figure out what you can do and then do it. Just do it. And you are also shaped with a personality. There's a unique way in which you think and relate to the world around you. And unlike the manufacturing of puzzles and games, God isn't in the business of kind of cookie-cutting humanity or stamping out uniformity in people. He loves variety. And the more variety, the greater. Just look in this room. There's variety in this room. So he doesn't shape you in the same way. There's not a right or wrong temperament. Now, there is a right or wrong attitude, but there's not a right or wrong temperament. We need balance in our families. We need balance in the church. We need balance in our communities. We need introverts and we need extroverts. We need thinkers. We need creatives. We need those who are fast-paced and those who take meticulous time over everything. We need those who are intuitive. We need those who fly by the seat of their pants. We only need a few of those, but we do need them. We need those who are analytical and they are methodical planners. We need those that think outside of the box and those who are totally predictable. When you serve, we need those. And when you serve, we need you to bring your real, authentic you into the picture. And then you get to see and we get to see how God works in you and through you and around you. You fit because you are you and there's only one of you. And finally, you are shaped by your experience. In verse 5, this is what it says. So in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Do you realize that I was created for you? I was brought here for your sake. From so far away, I was brought here for your sake. And you have stayed here for my sake. You were created for me. We all belong to each other. We were created for each other. And if there's anything that is sobering to me, it's that I was created for you And you were created for me, like family, like a puzzle. And so we are family. That's sobering. There are things that we have learned together, things that we have gone through together, things that we have been through in life alone, things that we have had to learn by ourselves. And they are either positive and sometimes they are negative, but they allow us to be able to relate to someone else, be able to empathize with somebody else, but also be able to serve others. Maybe you're sitting here in this room today and you've gone through cancer and you've survived. You're a survivor. Well, you can help somebody else who's just been diagnosed with cancer. They are starting their battle now. You can help. Maybe you're sitting here in this room and you've lost a child. And somebody has just recently lost a child. No one can speak into their lives but you. Maybe you're sitting here in this room and you are going through the battle of Alzheimer's with parents, and somebody else's parent has just been diagnosed with that. Nobody can speak into that situation but you. Maybe you're a parent who is over that hill of the teenage years, and you can help and mentor others who are just entering into those muddy waters of the teenage years. We are starting a life group for parents of teenagers on Wednesday night. You need to be part of that life group. Maybe you're a single parent. Maybe go parent another single parent. Go mentor them. Go help them. Join that life group because they need to hear what it's like to be a single parent from your perspective. They need your voice. There's many things that we've gone through. Maybe you're retired and now you have time on your hands. So listen to me well. God loves you and we have a plan for your life. So please come and talk to me after the service. Maybe you're one of those people that drink tea. Please come brew coffee for the salvation of the rest of us every Sunday morning. Every piece of the puzzle counts. Every piece belongs to each other. We all are needed. You are needed. You fit. You are part of the family. What would happen if all the Sunday school teachers decide one weekend that they were not going to show up? We wouldn't have a children's ministry. We wouldn't be able to help support our young families. We wouldn't be able to tell our children about Jesus in their church. What would happen if none of the worship team members showed up? You would have to listen to me for a very long time. What would happen if no one offered their tithings and their offerings? And you know what? I know that the church never enjoys that money spoken about. But what happens to your household when you don't have money? When there's no money, there's no work. And when there's no work, nothing works. You see, serving is about being available. It's about being committed. It's about being generous. Because isn't that what family is about? Isn't that what family does for each other? That they are available to each other, they're committed to each other, they are generous with each other? That's what it means to be church. That's what it means to be family. So what is it in for you if you serve? If you join a serve team? First, when you are involved, you impact others. When you share your spiritual gifts, when you give of your time, when you don't hold back, when you give of your abilities, when you help where help is needed, you make an everlasting, eternal, unimaginable impact on the church, in your community, and in the world, because you enable and allow others to know God. You enable others to experience God through you. You enable others to get to trust God because of you in ways that they don't even know that they need, because the world doesn't know what it doesn't know. Only when you serve them, you can tell them what they need to know. And you also become impacted because you experience God's presence and His provision and power in ways that you would never have experienced because you are serving. In the end, everyone wins because God wins and evil loses. The puzzle gets completed. There are no longer any missing pieces, and it becomes a beautiful picture. And secondly, when you serve the church, you bless others. How many times have you come on a Sunday morning and you get blessed by a small act of kindness? Maybe it's raining and somebody opens up the door and offers you an umbrella. When you show up in the winter and all the snow is being cleared, so there's a clear path towards the door. When you come inside, there are wonderful arms reaching out to receive your baby. There's toilet paper in the bathrooms. And again, there's coffee. There is coffee every Sunday morning. Being a blessing doesn't take doing something big. Being a blessing just takes showing up and doing something. Conclusion. How do we get to be part of this puzzle? First, remember that you are important to God and you are important to the life of the church. I cannot stress that. If there's nothing else you remember today, remember, you are important to God and you are important to the life of this church. And then realize that we cannot accomplish the mission of the church without you. We have just heard this morning, we're super excited that we are getting a new campus pastor. And this month we are on the cusp of launching a brand new ministry year and see what God is going to do among us. You have been given spiritual gifts. You have been given abilities. You have been given resources like no one else. And only you can fill the place that God has for you. I am shaped to do one thing, and you are shaped to do another thing. But together, only together can we get the job done. So you are important to accomplish God's plan. And then thirdly, recognize that God has made you to fill a special place with the church. You are His most favorite puzzle piece. You really are. So look at your puzzle piece. You were given one when you came in. Take out your puzzle piece. Look at your puzzle piece. Turn to the person, to your neighbor next to you, and say, "You fit." Go ahead. Now turn to your second choice neighbor and say, "You fit too." Now, in front of your seat, you will see a card that looks like this. Please take one out. These are Join a Serve Team cards. Our ushers are coming down the aisle. If you don't have one, they will give you one. I'm going to give you an opportunity to find where your puzzle piece fits, where your branch can be offered, where you can help and join a serve team. There are many opportunities there. Look for what you are passionate about, the spiritual gift that you can re-gift somebody with, an ability that you can share with somebody else. Your personality needs to be plugged in into one of these spaces. So take time now and choose, where are you going to fit? So I'm going to give you a few minutes to do that. And we will continue worshiping in a few minutes with the giving of our offerings and our tithings. When the plate comes your way, you can take your card and you can put it on the plate. And we will get hold of you within the next week and help you get connected as you join a serve team this year. And at this time, before we collect our offerings, would you just pray with me as we close off this message? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you. We just adore that you have first gifted us with your Son. You have gifted us with so many things that we have, and we are not even aware of it. We thank you this morning for the gift of yourself and the gift of provision and the gift of your presence. Lord, we pray that you will give us ample opportunities to be a regifter just as you are. We thank you for your presence here, for the offerings, for the tithings, for the work that your Holy Spirit is performing among us. And thank you, Lord, for the invitation to come alongside you to do the work in the church, for making us a family and providing for us as a family. We pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.